You might be unhappy with how you look, with how you feel, but that can all change. I've seen it, I've felt it. It's not how many lemons land on your head, it's what you make of the ones that do. What say we gather them up and make something tasty on Lifting the Lemons? Why, hello everybody and welcome back to another episode of Lifting the Lemons.
I am sorry for the absence in these episodes. If you've missed them as much as I've missed recording them, I am truly sorry. I have been massively preoccupied with what this episode is about, which has been my mountain climb out in California. And I'd really love to share the experience with you top to tail so you can understand why I did it, what I learned from it, and just get a feel for the experience, really, because it turned out to be really, truly one of the most profound things that's happened to me. And I'd love for you guys to be able to learn the things that I learned without actually having to go up the bugger. And just enjoy the story that was a really extraordinary experience for me. So this came about because one of my lovely clients, Teresa, asked me if I wanted to climb this mountain, Mount Shasta, which is in the Cascades in Northern California. It has a real sentimental value to her. She had grown up in California, and now she really wanted the challenge of climbing it. It's got a height of 14,179 feet. Sounds high. I mean, I don't know anything about mountaineering. Well, certainly less than I do now at the time. And I thought, hey, sure, how hard can it be? And I mean, nowadays, I'm really trying to make an effort to be more of a yes man. Someone offers me an experience, I'm like, fuck yeah, I'll do it, rather than getting too hung up on all the logisticals that I used to. And I thought this could be a really amazing experience, certainly to support this really positive thing that my client wanted to do. Long story short, me, Teresa, and our mutual friend Amanda all met up out in California, in San Francisco, and made our way via Lake Tahoe to Shasta, where we were going to make the climb. Now, we didn't really know exactly what to expect. We thought that it was going to be really tough, but that, you know, we were more or less capable. It's known as being a pretty, you know, supposedly a doable challenge if you prepare correctly and whatnot. We're all nervously mumbling around for a couple of days. We had all our gear ready, and then we went and met up with our guides. Now there's a group of six of us with two awesome guides that I will talk more about later in this episode. We all met up and had all our gear laid out. We're all geared and ready to go. There were three other groups for a total of about 25 climbers plus their guides with the organization that we went with. And the agenda was as such. We were going to hike for a couple of hours up to our first camp, spend the night, get a little more acclimatized and learn a few things about what we were going to be doing. Have another 3 to 4 hour hike further up the mountain to 19,000 feet, where in the Hidden Valley was our base camp, where the following morning in the wee hours we were going to attempt our summit climb. So you do it in stages to help benefit your acclimatization to the altitude, all the while sort of workshopping different skills, learning from the guides about what we're going to be doing, and just bonding with the rest of the group. And it was, I can't tell you how extraordinary the scenery was. And just being in the outdoors is really something I have missed. Coming from the city in London, I really revel in being able to get in the outdoors. But certainly this was more immersed than I have been in recent times, having not camped, you know, since I was a wee lad. And we initially, we walked up to the base camp, and that was all fun with a really great group of people. We already, you know, this terrain was already fairly rough, but it was a nice peaceful walk out in the countryside, basically. The packs we had were about 50 pounds, so it was, you know, it wasn't without its challenges, but that was fine. And we hung out in the wilderness for that evening, and that was all, it was all really chill. Everyone sort of nervously staring up the valley at the frosty peak above us, and, really not knowing what to expect still. Following day, we hiked up to the Hidden Valley. Now, this was... seems like it was a pretty hectic hike, really ambiguous pathways through some really steep, rocky terrain, really unstable surfaces, especially with the size of our packs, can leave you, lead you feeling, pretty off kilter. And I must just take this opportunity to say, my client Teresa, whom I've worked with for a little over a year now, I was just blown away by how much she pushed herself and challenged herself. This was, this was no easy walk. This was certainly outside of everyone's comfort zone. Again, this was where we had no idea what to expect. We weren't climbing a mountain at this point, but we were certainly really humping over some rough terrain in blistering heat and higher altitude. Watching someone really go outside their comfort zone and also overcome certain mental battles and with regards to, what you believe you're capable of yourself. Now, this is largely what this episode is going to be based around. But, Teresa, I've come to know, has overcome a great deal of extraordinary things in her life, both mentally and physically, and has consistently made great progress. But certainly seeing her outside of a normal gym environment and, immersing herself in a challenge such as this, I was just blown away. It was extraordinary for me to see someone take that level of independence, put themselves in an environment that wasn't going to be easy, and just attack it with everything that everything she had. I was just so I was incredibly proud and felt very privileged to be part of this experience. And it was a challenge. And we got up to base camp, and there it was. There was a bunch of other groups setting up for their climb, some people returning from them, and there indeed was the summit ahead of us. And we, still at this point, getting increasingly nervous, because even the climb up to that point had been challenging, as I'd said, over the rough terrains and in the heat and just these conditions that, I certainly wasn't used to. And the agenda was as such: we were going to hang out, we were going to do something called snow school, where you learn everything you need to be safe climbing snow and ice, using tools like ice axe and crampons, how to assure footing, and something called self-arrest, where you, if you were to take a fall, how to stop yourself with your ice axe, and things such as that, and more of what to expect. Now, we were going to have to bed down at 6 p.m. because we weren't told what time we were going to have to wake up, but we were told it was going to be, in the very, very early hours of the morning, because the climb ahead is, they didn't give us, again, a strong estimation on that, but we know that you're going to have to climb up, probably is going to be about 8 hours, and then have to come back down. And and again, we, everyone's still nervously milling about this point and, wondering what to expect, checking gears, and sort of, just hanging out in what, as I said, was really extraordinary scenery. I felt so lucky and was aware of what an experience this was already turning out to be. We're forced to be horizontal. I can't say when anyone slept at this point, because as any of you can attest, if you've been in a tent that's in, high heat, it's a really unpleasant experience. But we were just resting, because we'd already been sort of physically, really exerted at this point, and it was important for us to get some kit and just rest our muscles for what was going to be a really demanding day the following day. So I must just take a moment to say, up to this point, I had, we'd been given, demos, that would certainly be the wrong thing to say. We'd been given a briefing on how one's meant to go to the bathroom, take a number two. Now, because of the altitude and the mountain conditions, human waste doesn't actually decompose at such altitudes. So you have to do something called packing out, which basically means you pack away your shits and keep them for later, so you can dispose of them once you're done with your expedition, which, as I'm sure you can imagine, is a thrill to everyone to have to cart around their own turds. I think people have been trying to sort of avoid it at this point. Now, I wasn't taking note of who had taken dumps and who hadn't, but I went to bed down for the night and was like, nah, I ain't climbing this mountain with a big big turd brewing inside of me. It was a fear poo. I could feel it. The anxiety was building inside of me. I was already starting to feel a bit wacko, I'm not going to lie, at that altitude. I had a headache and my eyes were sort of swelling up in my head and I was exhausted. And I hadn't been sleeping that well, you know, just jet lag and stuff like that. But I snuck off, took a mountain poo, covered it in sawdust and packed it away. TMI for you there. Which really, really helped, I must admit. I felt very relaxed, very at peace. And watched the sun go down and bedded down for the night. And we were awoken at about 1:30 in the morning. 1:30. And I felt like a total train wreck. And you got that nervous energy. The wind was buffering. It was already quite, okay, shit, this is happening now. And we all got up, got suited and booted, got our headlamps on, which was the only thing illuminating us. Had some hot Joe, and basically we set off. There was six of us, bracketed by a guide at either end of the trail. And you could see, the only other thing you could see, there was one other group that had gone up ahead of us, and there was a couple behind us with their headlamps. And that was it. Just this ominous, huge figure of a mountain, briefly just sort of silhouetted by the high moon. Really, you know, an extraordinary sight, but certainly a nerve-wracking one. And again, still not really knowing what exactly to expect. The mountain looked damn near vertical to us. And this was the first time us, you know, taking on this terrain. And we hiked up for about 30, 45 minutes, past all the rocks, got onto the snow, and then we all fixed our crampons to our boots. And if anyone didn't know, crampons are basically just spiked brackets that you attach to the bottom of your mountain boots that allow you to, to walk, basically, or ascend snow and ice. And it was a really odd sensation, to be honest, just starting to ascend this increasingly gradient increasing sort of wall of ice, which is an alien experience. You shouldn't be able to do that. The only thing keeping me fixed to the wall was the fact that my shoes had giant nails coming out of them. And it was like, okay, this is it. This is the one. You know, it's pitch black. All you can see is a meter in front of you from your headlamp. And you're just digging in foot after foot, up this wall of ice. And I was like, okay, this is cool. I'm liking this. It's pretty full on. But let's go for it. Let's go for it. And I was being a real Boy Scout. I was like a foot behind the instructor and was just pacing right behind him, foot over foot, climbing up this ice. I had my two ski poles and I was just digging in. I was just doing my best to keep pace here. And I look back and the trail was starting to fall apart, to be honest. Like, we'd been told the night before that, you know, we take a 10-minute break every hour, and if that breaks apart, if that starts to become 15, 20 minutes or more frequent, then the whole day falls apart. So it's really important to keep to that. And within about an hour and a half, there were massive gaps between people. I could see people taking breakages, and so I saw we had to stop with the guide, and we were sort of perched on the side of this, the base of this mountain, pretty much. And, we could start to hear radio chatter, people having trouble with their crampons and certain people struggling, and you could start to feel like, shit, okay, this is getting real, this is, and we all nervously, you really want to summit. There's something called summit fever, where everyone wants to make it to the top of the mountain and can potentially make them indulge in behavior or become a bit short-sighted about everyone's safety and certainly your own, because you just want to get to the top. And, but we're all very aware that, that's obviously that's the goal for us here. And success rates on that are, varying. There'd been some success the day before with another group. But it's certainly based on conditions and people and the abilities of your group. Now, people started to drop out, basically. There was a couple of chaps at the back that immediately folded. One of my party had to turn back, and before I knew it, it was just me and a guide and another chap, and we continued heading up the mountain, realizing like, okay, shit, this is real. I'm starting to feel it was very physically demanding. It's still pitch black. My legs are burning, and I'm very conscious of my breathing and how the altitude might be starting to affect that. Just getting more paranoid than anything. And we had to take a stop again because at this point we were waiting for a couple of our group to catch up with us. And I basically had to go on with another instructor whose whole group had folded, sadly, and had to head straight back down the mountains. She came up to assist our group and took me on under her wing with her and another chap. So we continued scaling up this hill, again, just staring at that same meter of white ice at our feet, just one foot in front of the other. You do something called French step, where you actually step sideways. So the side of your foot, which has more purchase, is digging in and the rest isn't. So you can imagine there's a lot of pressure basically going through a small area of your foot, and you're just sidestepping over, one foot over the other, move your axe, one foot over the other, move your axe. And, you know, and it's just a bit freaking nerve-wracking, to be honest, because you're at more or less 45 plus degree angle of ice, and you know, and you're just thinking that any missed footing you could slip and bin it down the mountain. And anyway, so I was with this with this female guide, and we're heading up with this other chap, and then he had to turn back because he was starting to struggle with his breathing. And I'm starting to think like, shit, like, this is real. This is serious. We're barely, you know, we had 5,000 feet in total to gain that day. And we're not even we're about 1,000 feet down at that point, maybe. And you know, it's about four in the morning, 4:30 in the morning. And I'm like, fucking hell, you know, how honest are you with the guide? Do you say you're struggling? I just didn't know, you know. I started to feel getting a couple of breaths, getting a little bit short of breath here, and you know, my muscles were screaming out in my legs. I can't, like, just through my calves, my arms were really tense using the ice axe, and I was just getting a little bit worried, should I say, but I was, you know, I was still feeling pretty good. I was enjoying the experience. And yeah, and so at this point, six had become one, and that was just me and now this new guide, Emily, who was wonderful, I must admit. She was, you know, really enthusiastic, and I felt very safe with her. So we continued just heading up this same damn wall of ice. I'm not looking up, mainly because my neck was pretty restricted from having this helmet on, and the summit pack that I had. And so you're just staring at the same meter and the floor in front of you, not really knowing how much ground you're gaining. And it's just a really odd mental experience. And so we just continued to scale up. We took a break. The amount that you really get told you need to just constantly be eating. You're in a constant furnace. A summit day can be anywhere from up to 10,000 calories, pretty much. And certainly for me, you know, in everyday life with my regular training and work schedule, I have to consume anywhere from, you know, about 4,000 to 5,000 calories anyway. So, you know, this was just, it was just going to be it's such a tall order to get in the amount of water and food I needed. I knew that I was probably going to struggle there. And bearing in mind, this is just freaking granola bars and, you know, some peanut M&Ms were actually pretty a saving grace for me there. But for the past 2 days, we've mainly just been eating Clif bars and beef jerky. Two of my historically favorite snacks. Now I will not be looking at them again for at least a good while yet. And at this point, as I said, I'm starting to get pretty tired. But mentally, you know, I'm trying to hold it together and think, you know, you can do this. This is fine. But it's just the nervousness, the balance of that nervousness and the unfamiliarity of this activity really started to creep in. And we took a break just as the sun was coming up over the mountain, and I can't tell you, it's something truly extraordinary. We've been climbing non-stop now for about, you know, 3.5 hours, and to be able to stop and turn around, we had to carve out a little butt ledge in the side of this ice wall, which isn't, you know, the most relaxing way to take your break, but to see for, you know, more or less as far as the eye could see, this incredible landscape below us was, you know, truly breathtaking. And yeah, I can't tell you. I was, you know, for a brief moment, I was really, you know, just, I don't know, just at peace, should I say, and felt very moved by the landscape around me. Quickly buffeted by the fact we had to get back up, and the fact that we were apparently, you know, barely even beginning the worst of the climb. Like, this was, you know, this was meant to be easy. If I felt at all like I was struggling, then it was going to be a bad thing, blah, you know. And as things after the sun had rose, basically, is when I started to struggle physically. I was getting every thought that was going through my head was just like, this is tough, this is tough. I'm not going to make it. This is only going to get worse. And started to just go a bit crazy, basically. If any of you have ever had like a monotonous job or something repetitive you have to do, you start to sort of, I can know you can go a bit crazy, and your coordination can go a bit funny. Because again, I was just doing one sidestep over another, just 1 foot at a time, staring at the same like just field of view, which is just my feet climbing ice for hours on end. And I was starting to just like, I don't know, just became a bit of a mental warfare. And as things progressed, I can feel my legs really start to fatigue. My mind is starting to go a little bit, and it's just getting steeper and steeper and slightly more nerve-wracking. And I mean, at this point, to be fair, the gradient is more or less stable. We had to do a lot of tough transitions over some rock formations, and they're very dangerous because if you go near them, they can become loose and endanger you and people below you. And it was just freaking full on. At this point, I'm roped to my guide Emily in case of slippage, and it was just unlike anything I've ever experienced. And I was realizing, like, we were so wrong. What am I, like, the whole group's gone. The other groups, I'm just like, what the shit is going on? I must take this opportunity to just say that, like, yeah, without me training the way I had been up to that point, I would have been, my conditioning would have binned out long before this. I would have had to fold most likely, because my lung capacity just would not have been there. And certainly the conditioning of my muscles would have been, you know, subpar for this endeavor. I was really certain that I wasn't going to summit. I was like, okay, can we make it? Because basically we were climbing something called the West Face, whereby that takes you up to, I believe it's 13,000 feet. It's like the majority of it. It's just this one brutal, continual slope, basically. And I was like, okay, cool. Maybe if I can make it to the top of there, you know, that would be quite an extraordinary thing. Some people had made it up to there and that had been there, like, you know, the people that had made it that weekend had made it to 13,000 feet, and I was thinking, okay, maybe I can do that. And I started to think, oh, that's a bit disappointing. Or, you know, you guys, you taught such a big game, and, you know, it was just, yeah, it was just very different to what we were all expecting. And I made it to the top of West Face, 13,000 feet, by about, I'm trying to think what it had been. We set off at 2:30 in the morning, and I made it to top of West Face by, I think, 11 a.m. perhaps. And so I've been climbing, you know, nonstop for shy of 8 hours, and I was battered at this point. And we climbed over the top, and I was just, you were hit by this wind. And bear in mind, you know, at 13,000 feet with nothing stopping, you know, no clearance from any side. It was just like this, you know, you're the ceiling, basically. And just blasted by this ice wind, to the point where it nearly took me off my feet. So we're sort of staggered. No time to stop here, because you can't, because of the wind. And we just continued to ascend over the first bit of flat ground that we'd had in 8 hours, through some extraordinary scenery over these, like, fucking, like, bizarre ice formations in the floor where the wind had just been forming these sort of blades. They were like these slate blades stacked on top of each other that were hard of footing. But, you know, it was all just so full on, just trying to, you know, at this point, as I said, I'm really bloody exhausted, and I was really just like, I just had a, you know, my brain was all over the place. I was so sure that I was not going to be able to make it any further. But part of me was like excited by the idea of being able to make it to the summit. Now, my original guides had to shepherd basically the people who had to bow out of the climb down the mountain. And there had actually been a really unfortunate accident with one of the chaps who had taken a tumble about 400 feet down the mountain. So that they were completely, had their hands full with that. And at this point, as I said, I am at the I've ascended up to 13,000 feet with the hardest, a big push yet to come with something called Misery Hill, which, bear in mind, this is now 13,000, above the 13,000 foot mark. You know, the altitude just really compounds the physical effects. And there's this one last big push primarily called Misery Hill, which is so named just because you are miserable. You've just endured the huge majority of the climb, and now it's just made worse by the altitude. And my original guide, who I bonded like an absolute house on fire, we really got on, and he, you know, was a really supporting force throughout the climb. He caught up with us and was like, "Fucking Jay, man, like, right on, bro, you're killing it, dude. Like, you want to make the summit, you're gonna do it." And I was like, usually I'm real chipper and I would just hide it, but I was like, "I'm fucking struggling, I'm not gonna lie. I'm suffering here, but I'm happy to push on if we can just, you know, I'll do my best to keep pace." He was like, "Yeah, bro, do it, dude. I ride on, kill it, you know." And he was like, really, he was like, "We can do this, dude." He's like, "It's right there. You do not need to push back. You know, typically if we come this far, dude, like, if you can, just go on. You know, the summit's within reach." So I've got this bizarre concoction of like this thing that I want right there, the achievement of reaching the summit, and just wondering whether I'm being a bit reckless, because bear in mind, I've still got to come back down the whole way that I've spent 8 hours climbing. And anyway, we started going up towards Misery Hill, and I'm just really just feeling absolutely beat by this point. As I said, we've endured 8 hours of non-stop, damn near vertical ascension, and I'm just kind of in a really funny place, feeling, you know, scared, emotional, and just completely beat. And I'm keeping pace behind Liam, my guide. I'm literally staring at the foot of the floor in front of me, just 1 foot in front of the other, these tiny little shuffling steps up this, this isn't snow anymore, this part of the mountain, because of the time of year, was just like loose shingle and rock. If anyone's seen Lord of the Rings, if you remember when Sam and Frodo, I'm not being dramatic here, that final push up Mount Doom is exactly how I would liken the terrain. It's just like this loose, because this is a volcano, bearing in mind, this is a still an active volcano. So there was a lot of volcanic sort of rock and shingle and sand and sort of weird shit knocking around, mixed in with some ice and snow. And we're just shuffling up this in zigzag, just, you know. And this is where the really profound part of this experience started for me. I was really just having to focus on nothing but putting one foot in front of the other, and was so certain that I just couldn't imagine a world where I wasn't suffering as much as I was. You know, my breathing is the sort of noises that I was making at this point, and I was like, fuck. I just was panicking a little bit about being able to make it to the top, being able to make it back down. It was just, I couldn't focus on anything but the discomfort that I was in. And this sort of feeling began to wash over me where I was like, I can't give up, but I'm also so terrified as to whether I'm actually capable of doing this. And all I could think about was, you know, my client Teresa, who had made it so far, but now, you know, I felt responsible for the fact that I was still physically able to do this, but my brain was failing me, my mind was failing me. And I was thinking about, you know, people in my life, some of my close clients, my mother, my family, my friends, people that have demonstrated immense adversity and not given up. And I was like, as long as there's like breath in me, as long as I'm able to move forward, I can't give up. I can't let myself just fold because I'm in such discomfort. And that's all I was thinking about. I was thinking about, you know, people in my life, people that I feel like I'd be letting down if I did this, letting myself down, letting my mind give up before my body did. And I'm just shuffling up this hill 1 foot at a time. And then we come to the clearing. We've cleared Misery Hill. And there's just this one last stretch, you know, some ice and rock before we make the climb to the summit. And I'm like, oh, fuck. I'm panicking. I'm just nothing I can think about but my breath. my leg, nothing. I was dead. I was an animated sack of a man. And yeah, I'm just 1 foot in front of the other. Just moving forward, 1 foot in front of the other. And try, you know, my guy at this point is scuttled off ahead. These guys are amazing, you know, so conditioned to this environment. And I'm just bent over. I get to these boulders that we have to climb up, and I'm bent over. My pack is just pulling me forward, pulling me back. Every time I bend over, I feel like I'm going to fall over. And I'm just stopping. I'm like, I literally felt like I was going to give up. I was like, I could see it. It was just right above me. It was, you know, 5-10 minutes of climbing away. And I was like, I can't do this. I just can't. I can't go on. I'm totally destroyed. And then I breathe, move another foot in front of the other, take another breath, trying to harvest oxygen out of this atmosphere. And I was scrambling up, and then we hit the final ridge, and the wind was so extreme, I had to crawl on my hands and knees, and it was just, it was absolute bonkers just thinking about it. And we made it to some coverage and what was basically the summit. He was like, mate, dude, you fucking made it. And I was like, and the summit was actually another sort of 20 meters ahead. And I was like, that's the summit. We're here. We've got to get to that point. So I fucking dumped my bag, my poles, and I crawled on over past these rocks, you know, stopping this insane wind from blowing me off the side of this mountain. And there's like this, there's a metal box with a book inside where you can sign your name. I screwed my name like freaking Guy Fawkes being tortured, and just slumped on a pile of rocks at the top of this mountain next to Liam. And the only other people to make it up the mountain that day were three guys and their guide, and this photographer. And just this feeling came over me like a warm blanket, just being able to stop for a moment. I felt this insane peace of having just what felt like just going through more hell than I'd experienced physically across 10 hours and having made it, basically. And I was so overwhelmed and just relieved to just have this moment of peace where I had made it to this place where I was so convinced that I was not going to get to. And yeah, we took 10 minutes there just to freaking soak it in, took some pictures, and then it was time to turn around. And this is where things started to unravel a little bit. I was extremely, extremely beat. I had not been eating enough, I had not been drinking enough. I'd run out of water at this point, and I'd run out of snacks. And I start coming down the mountain just like, and I'm really like, my pace is just gone. I climb down from the summit, the rocks, and we start heading back down Misery Hill. And this is where I was really overwhelmed. I could not believe I had done it. And this whole swirl of emotions had mixed over me. And that's basically now I'm coming to the footnote of the things that I took away from this experience, which all arrived or more or less at the same time at this one point that I want to talk to you guys about. You know, I'm not one that's afraid of, you know, talking about crying or anything like that. I'm really not. I'm very, you know, very open to all these things, and I often find them funny and real. But at this moment in time, I just bawled. I burst into tears under my sunglasses, and I was just so moved and overwhelmed by this fact that I had wanted to give up so bad, and I did really just wanted to give up more than ever. All I could think about was just not being there, but the fact that I was thinking about the people in my life who look up to me as well for guidance, and I'm often, because, you know, nature of what I do, being a personal trainer, I'm always, you know, the one that has to give people answers and how to be motivated, how to not give up, how to, you know, move more, eat well, have your shit together, basically, so that you can live a good life. And I just felt, like a fraud. I felt like I was, you know, an imposter and someone who just wanted to give up and didn't have the strength to do these things. And I also started to liken it to the fact that, you know, at the end of the day, none of us are perfect. And I have a lot of things that I want to achieve in my life, and I often feel that I'm not pursuing them as actively as I could be. Or I'm really, and I realized at that point in time, I was really selling myself short. I'd really sold myself short in my life and had not been putting in the effort that is clearly required to go to places that are extraordinary, and what it requires to actually meet your goals. And I'd realized the discomfort that I just experienced climbing up that mountain. You know, you can liken to what you sometimes have to go through in order to reach your goals. And I hadn't been. And I was just blown away. I just couldn't believe, you know, what I'd done, and realizing how much more I was capable of, and I was like, has there ever been a better metaphor for life? You know, this is, I was just completely, you know, blown away, basically. And this is what I want to, you know, go over now, is that, you know, you are so much more capable than you are probably giving yourself credit for. It's because these places are uncomfortable, they're scary and uncertain, that most people avoid going there, so they don't actually realize what they're really capable of in their life. Now, I don't want to get too metaphysical here, but this can be anything from achieving things with your, you know, your career or your body, or certainly just overcoming adversity that feels like it's not even, you know, worth considering. You know, people limit themselves to what they can achieve in their lives, places they can get to, and things they can do. And I realized now, in that moment, I was the epitome of that. And I just realized, like, shit, we are all so much more capable. We all want to give up, largely, and we all really struggle to do things in our life that we spend a lot of time dreaming about. And I realized, like, fuck, it's all so possible. But, you know, it's not easy. And you really, it sometimes is just a case of not having the answers, but just putting one foot in front of the other. You know, whether that be dealing with mental health struggles, you're in a bad place, you're struggling to get where you want to, you know, you're suffering through something that's happened to you and you don't know how you're ever going to get out of it. Fuck, I mean, I got no crazy wisdom for you other than I experienced what I must, up to that point, had been the most physical manifestation of that, which is to just fucking keep moving forward. As long as there's breath left in your body, keep moving forward. You cannot give up. You know, whether you're struggling, you're hurting, you're afraid, all those things are good because you know that you're probably you're probably coming to something really amazing in your life. On the other side of all this pain is something great. And you just have to keep moving through it. Whatever analogy you want to use, you know, this has been my favorite thus far, but there is something amazing on the other side of that. You just have to keep moving forward. You can't stop. You know, we got down that hill and we were now at the top of, I was staggering just through this spiky glaciers for like 45 minutes until we got to the top of West Face that I'd spend that whole morning climbing. And I was like, I can't. I literally fell to my knees and slumped over. And this other guy came in and was like, dude, have you been eating enough? What's been going on? Are you all right? Like, you need to move. And then Liam was like, we got radio that the rest of the camp had packed up and left and got back down to the cars. And I was just like, I can't come back down that hill. But I realized like nothing was going to happen me sitting at the top of that mountain and sulking and, you know, and hoping that something was going to rescue me. I just had to freaking get up and go. And you know, I roped myself to Liam and I had to start heading back down that mountain, basically. My, you know, legs giving way with every step, pretty much. And I was just like, you know, the thing that I want, that relief, taking off these boots, sitting in the car, having a meal, having a drink of water, is on the other side of still a shit ton of work. And again, this was going to be, my point is, you know, don't be fooled into thinking that, certainly the best things in your life are, you know, are patiently waiting at the end of a really easy road. You know, the best things often lay beyond immense hard work and doubt and, you know, a fuck ton of perseverance and pain and all these different things, that no matter what you're in the middle of, it's going to take to, to overcome that. And you, but you have that. That's the thing that you cannot forget. In all, you know, 26 years old, but I've never experienced such a desire to give up, but also realizing that I absolutely couldn't. You know, oftentimes in life, it can be easy to realize that, oh, you're sure I can stop? I can give up. Nothing's going to happen. But then also nothing's good's going to come of it. Trouble is, when you're up a mountain, you can't teleport back down it or up it. You know, you still got to go somewhere. So I was realized that, although I had to go on, I realized that that's kind of how you have to start seeing our lives and our goals and our pursuits, whatever it is that we're going through, for better or worse. You can't, you have to keep moving forward and believe that you can do it, because the fucked up thing is you can. You're, you know, short of death or some disaster, you're going to live, which means that you can do it. And I was just so convinced that I wasn't capable of succeeding. And yet, just by not giving up, by putting one foot in front of the other, I was able to do so. And this, the will of the human spirit. And I'm not saying I'm any hero or anything. I'm not. I didn't feel courageous. I felt like a bit of a whiner. But it was, you know, just by the sheer fact that I did not give up, I was able to reach the summit and eventually come back down, as much as I was, you know, a real hollow husk. And I, as I said, I was just so moved by the fact that I was able to do this. And, you know, what does that mean? What else can I do in my life that I perhaps didn't think I was capable of, or I've perhaps given up on? If you can just keep moving forward with it and putting one foot in front of the other each day, each moment, you will get to your destination, or you reach your goal. And it had never been more clear to me than at that moment. And, you know, and to get back to reality now, you know, at this point, you know, I was really dehydrated. I was completely buggered. We basically were able to climb halfway back down the mountain, and then we were going to do something called glissading, where the ice softened up to snow, softened up enough basically where you can slide down the hill. And the group that had made it earlier that day ahead of us had carved out like these sort of channels, basically, like these mini slides built into the side of the mountain. So we basically just sat our ass in that, and you just bombed down the hill. Now, bearing in mind, I wiped out a few times because I just basically had no control. I was completely gonzoed, but it was a great relief, you know. So we basically spent the next hour just bombing down this mountain in these different slides. And, you know, we got back to camp and had to pack up. We still had, the funny thing is, what had been in the previous days, a 4 to 5 hour total hike ahead of us. And I couldn't feel my feet. I was just completely fried. Had to pack up the big heavy pack with all the gear in and head back down. But just me and Liam, we were able to do it in just shy of an hour, just because it was just us. We didn't have, you know, a whole troop to deal with. We just gallivanted back down this hill, and I'm getting just increasingly more euphoric about the fact what I'd just done, and the fact that there was some serious relief waiting for me in the form of a cold beer, and just, you know, not having to be stood on those feet, on my feet. And, you know, we made it to the bottom of the mountain. I barely, you know, I'm just completely done in at this point, but such a sense of satisfaction and relief, which really settled over the next sort of the next day. I met up with the rest of our crew, and, you know, we all just sort of completely slumped and, you know, relaxed for the rest of the evening. Me and my client Teresa and our friend Amanda made our way back to Lake Tahoe, where we've been staying. And, you know, I spent the next sort of 12 hours in and out of a pool, sauna and a hot tub, and just staggering about the place. And it's really just started to land to me. I'm back in England now, and I've just had time to let it digest, really. And I'm not saying, you know, a different guy came down the mountain that day, but part of me, you know, we're forged by our experiences to a point, and that has been the most profound one to date, without a shadow of a doubt. And I'm kind of really just sort of trying to let it marinate in me a little bit about, you know, how I feel I can continue, I can push myself more than I have been. And not to say, you know, you've got to be doing that all out all the time, but it's just to say that if you're dealing with something right now, or you either want to, you know, you want to change your body, you want to change what's going on in your life, with your work, with anything, frankly, that feels difficult, feels like it's on, you know, out of your reach, I can't tell you that I'm with you, side by side with you in that experience right now. In that, it's been demonstrated to me in the most, you know, physical and obvious way that, fuck, you can do this. You are more powerful than you know, and you can't shrink away from that, but just because something's difficult or scary, it's so important that you face up to those challenges, and regardless of how much you want to give up or how difficult something is, or how much you feel you're struggling, trust me, there is something extraordinary, unmatched, you know, on the other side of your, your pain or your struggle or your uncertainty, is all the best things that life has to offer is waiting for you on the other side of that. And if you can, you know, you don't have to have the answers. You just have to focus on that, you know, one step in front of you, and then rinse, repeat. Cool. Are you breathing? Are you alive? Can you take another step? Do it. Are you breathing? Are you alive? Can you take another step? Do it. And it's, you know, it's an absolute battle. But what's the alternative? You know, giving up? Now, I'm not to say that everybody should climb mountains. Absolutely not. All I'm saying is that when you know this, you won't have to. You will be able to live your life exactly on your terms, how you want to. You'll be able to start attacking your goals. Now, if we're talking about in reality, what this actually means for you is that if you've spent the last year, 5, 10, wanting to lose weight but feel like you can't, or you're giving up, or this, that, and the other, you know, there's a difference between being capable and, but also, you know, persevering and not giving up and being patient with something. In that, I knew that probably my body would be able to make it to that mountain and back, but it was my mind that was giving up on me. And it's the same goes for all of us. We're all capable of these things. We just give up, and we're not patient enough. And I realized that as long as there's a breath in my body, I can't give up. And the same goes for you guys. Like, do not, whatever it is that you're pursuing right now, have the fortitude to just realize that if you keep moving forward, it will happen. Because the alternative is just, you know, mediocrity and normality and nothing that's really going to bring you a lot of happiness or satisfaction. The short-term comfort that you get sold will kill you in the long term. It will kill your happiness, and your purpose and your satisfaction and all the real things in life. Choosing to just keel over and lie down and eat chips, as much as there's a time and a place for that, sure, if we do that more often than we don't, it will lead to the only real hell that I think we know, which is you know, being trapped in your own brain and not being able to get to where you really want to, where you feel like you might be capable of, because you're just choosing short-term comfort over long-term gain and success. And, you know, as I said, it's still very fresh for me. It's pretty emotional, and I know I've sort of just been rambling about it, but I cannot tender to you the importance of that. It might just be the most important thing that we can acknowledge. And I want so bad for you guys to be able to feel the weight of this, and how, if you can understand that, take it on board, and keep in the forefront of your mind that regardless of what you're going through or what you're trying to pursue, you can do it. You fucking can. You just cannot give up. You cannot be distracted by the relief that might come from giving up. And you have to realize, you know, what's on the other side of this pain is something that can only be reached by not turning back, by continually moving forward. Now, I know it's a long roundabout way of telling you guys that I walked up a hill, but it, you know, make no mistake, this could be, you know, the most important thing that I talk about. And yeah, you know, without this, all the practical knowledge and all the other shit, you know, what to do in the gym, what to do in life, what to eat, all this other stuff, it kind of doesn't mean anything, because if you're not armed with with courage and, you know, and that level of perseverance and headfastiness, you will, you know, you won't be able to get there. So thank you for staying with me for this story. If you have, I really, really appreciate it. As always, please drop me a line with anything you, any questions, anything you want to talk about. Now that we're back, I'm dying to discuss things that you feel are. If you've enjoyed this episode, or indeed any of our previous ones, I know it's early days, it would mean the world to me if you could drop this guy a rating on the App Store here. Give me a 5-star and drop a little review telling me what you liked about the show. It would really, really mean the world to me, and it really helps me out in making sure that more episodes like this get made. For today, I wish you guys an amazing one. All right, go out there and crush it, and do not give up. Love you, bye.